ding ding.
How about we can just watch basketball?
How about we can just watch basketball?
Welcome to the Daily Ding. Hope you guys are doing great on this Friday. I've got Mo Dekeel with me. I'm Andrew Schlecht. Mo, we're going to talk about some sleepy basketball tonight. We went off from the Wednesday that was just like chock full of just action. And then we just kind of had this like struggle to score sleepy night in the NBA.
No. You can call it what it was. It was a crappy night of basketball. let's just be honest. You were trying to be nice. I'm just being honest with you. It wasn't really a great slate of games. There was a potential of great games.
Yeah.
But it didn't turn out with how the gameplay ended up going out there, and it just wasn't the best basketball we've had out there.
Yeah. Let's start in Miami. First, I want to just lay out some facts here before I even tell you what the score was. Because if I told you, Mo, that Jason Tatum wouldn't score his first point until 11:19 in the fourth quarter. He missed his first free throw, made the second. That's his first point. Didn't make his first field goal until 8:36 left. He was 0 of 8 from deep. Jaylen Brown leaves the game with only 17 points with right hamstring tightness. What in the world would you think the score would be, Mo Dekeel? Not 95-78 when a Boston win.
I wouldn't have thought Boston put up 95 points. I don't think that was something I would have expected. I think that was give Boston a ton of credit. The most important thing, I know all the drama was around Marcus Smart and his comment about assists and things like that and everything along those lines, but their bigger issue was defense, and they defended like a wolf pack today. Like, this was impressive, holding this Heat team to 78 points, and they took the Heat out of everything. The Heat only had 5 fast break points, so they took away all the kick aheads Kyle Lowry was getting. They held the Heat to 9-41 shooting from 3 for 22%. They were just all over them all night long. It was really impressive watching the effort, the hustle, everything they were going to through that. And even Tatum, who, even though he was struggling on the offensive end, was busting his butt defensively. And I think that was an important step for the Celtics, who've been very underwhelming so far this season.
Yeah, it was a statement game for the Celtics on semi-national TV. Like, it was good to see them play the way they did. Al Horford, too. Like, Horford, who's leading the league in blocks somehow at his age, looks spry. He looks great. Huge thanks to the Oklahoma City Thunder for like putting him in an incubator for like a year.
Just let him rest.
But he looked great. It really was an impressive showing from the Celtics. And it was kind of a bummer because the Heat had played so well up until this point, and I was kind of hoping to see a battle and kind of hope that the Heat would at least get back into it come the fourth quarter. But the Celtics really just put the clamps on them, and then they got enough from their bench. Their bench was really fantastic. They got 13 from Nesmith. They got Schroeder, who had his first good game of the season, 14, 5, and 6. And then Romeo Langford chipped in with 12 points off the bench to the Heat, who didn't really have much going off the bench.
I think the Heat were due for this game. They were playing at a great pace, great level. Everything was rolling. They looked great. They beat up on Dallas. They've been beating up on teams, beat the Nets. I think they were due for a little bit of a come down kind of game, a little bit with everybody kind of dropping off to a degree. But let's also just give a ton of credit. Like you said, Dennis Schroeder coming off the bench had a really good night. Not so much shooting, but dropping out 6 assists. You know, that's the other funny thing. Despite Smart's big complaint, 16 assists on 31 field goals. Like that. But that said, there were still some good plays of ball movement. Not a lot. Not as much. But again, their bigger issues were on the defensive end, and they looked like they handled it tonight. But hey, it's one game. Got to build on it. It's a building game right now. You got to start building from this. You beat up on Orlando because you're supposed to. Mm-hmm. You beat Miami in a second night of a back-to-back. That's a really good win. Now build on it. And that's going to be the key for Boston.
Yep, and it's still early. So you can build at this point. Kyle Lowry left in the fourth quarter, turned an ankle. Don't really know what his status is, but something to watch for. And he hopped, I don't know, 75 hops all the way out into the tunnel all by himself. That was kind of impressive.
I thought he was playing hopscotch, though. I thought he would throw him. Sorry, bad joke.
It was quite impressive. It's worth watching. I'm sure it's out there on the internet somewhere. Let's go to Atlanta. The Utah Jazz go to Atlanta and beat the Hawks 116-98. An impressive win for the Jazz. They did not have Donovan Mitchell, who was a late scratch. And Jordan Clarkson stepped up. In that second half, I think he had 22 points. It was really kind of nip and tuck there for a while until Clarkson just blew up.
Yeah, once he got hot, it sort of blew the game wide open. But it's just, it's another bad night from Trae Young. Going 8 of 20 from the field for 21 points, 0 for 4 from 3. Following that from his performance against Brooklyn, I'm beginning to get a little bit worried, Andrew, about the Hawks. You know, they have a ton of talent, but it's not looking fully like they're all there yet. You know, and maybe it's a little bit of a hangover.
What concerns you most?
I'm a little bit worried about them defensively. Mm-hmm. I think they have a lot of issues in how they're defending and how they're not actually defending in what they're doing. And I think those are the things that they need to get back on track along those lines. Now, let's be fair. Brooklyn and Utah on a back-to-back, that's tough. You know, you're in Brooklyn and you flew to Atlanta to go play Utah. Like, this is two really good teams too, right? It wasn't like they just lost to Cleveland and Minnesota, sorry, those teams got strays. But like, you're along those lines, these are tough games, and you just wanted to see them pull one off. 7-28 as a team from three, just kind of struggling a little bit. I'm not ready to panic, but I'm a little bit worried.
Yeah, and they just might be just a middle-of-the-road Eastern Conference team too, you know, instead of a contending team, which is also okay because they're still really young. I mean, you look at the makeup of the roster. You know, Trae Young is he still 23? Like, he's still
a baby. Let's just be. Yeah.
Hunter is still young. Like, they've got time. They've got time with these guys. So nothing to be too concerned about. But if you're expecting conference finals again, perhaps maybe
dial it back a little bit. Utah, on the other hand, though, great game from Rudy Gobert on the boards, 15 rebounds, solid night. Connolly with 11 assists. You know, the opposite of the Celtics, 30 assists on 41 made field goals. Like, the ball was flying around in this game, and they did have the defense constantly chasing them with just their ball movement alone. Very impressive performance without Donovan Mitchell. You would think, like, okay, there might be a drop-off there, and there just wasn't any from the Jazz in how they played tonight.
No, because Joe Ingles stepped in, poured in 19 points, 5 of 6 from 3. He was fantastic. And then, like we talked about with Clarkson, having 30 off the bench, like, you'll be just fine. You'll be just fine on a night where no one else could score in the league.
And we got to give Royce O'Neal a shout-out, because I probably never thought I would see him with 6 assists in a game. Maybe I'm just a Royce O'Neal hater. I don't know. But I would have never expected that. And, you know, he's one of those guys, diamond out folks. That's if you're Atlanta, you're like, yeah, we're gonna lose.
Yeah, that's also just a product of just the way that the Jazz run their offense. Like, they get that blender going, and it's really, they trust anybody and everybody to make plays, which is really, it makes it really fun, and it makes guys look great. I mean, it's really, it made Joe Ingles' career.
I mean, for the most part, they have the continuity. Right. Mm-hmm. Like, this team has been together for a long time at this point. I think this iteration, for the most part, 3 years with Connolly and Bogdanovich, you know, since they come over. So now you kind of just have that. They know who they are. They know where they need to get their shots. They know where the ball needs to go, you know, and I think that's such a huge advantage for teams like them early in the season.
Discover the latest collections from David Yurman, as seen recently, styled on basketball stars like Jaime Jaquez, Jalen Green, D'Angelo Russell, and others. David Yurman is a celebrated American jewelry company inspired by the beauty of art, architecture, and the natural world. The story of David Yurman begins in New York City with David, a sculptor, and his wife Sybil, a painter and ceramicist. When the artists began collaborating, their goal was to simply make beautiful designed objects to wear. Over 40 years later, the Yurmans and their son, Evan, continue to redefine American luxury jewelry with timeless, modern collections for women and men defined by inspiration, innovation, consummate craftsmanship, and Cable, the brand's artistic signature. David Yurman's collections are available on davidyurman.com. Now let's go to this Detroit Sixers game where the Sixers win 109-98. the Philadelphia 76ers, after all this turmoil and craziness, find themselves at 7-2, top of the Eastern Conference, Mo, to start the season. Would you have predicted that?
No, but I didn't think they were going to be as bad as everybody was saying, too, at the same time. I think when you're just looking at the way these guys play and hustle, it's pretty impressive. And that Joel Embiid character, pretty good.
Yeah, he's pretty good. Great all-around game from Tyrese Maxey tonight, man. 20 points, 4 boards, 5 assists, 2 steals, only 1 turnover. And then not only that, but the ball pressure that he was putting on Cade Cunningham during this game was really impressive. It was giving, and Cade has struggled out the gate. He's dealt with this ankle injury, and now he's like trying to find his footing, and then Maxey's all over him. You know, it's a tough go for a rookie in his first few outings, but you have to give Maxey just a ton of credit.
Yeah, and just their defense as a whole. I mean, they held the Pistons to, and I'm trying to do math on the fly, folks, 31 points in the second half.
Yeah.
I mean, we have teams that are averaging 31 points a quarter. Like, yeah. So that just says everything. Like, defensively, they really locked down with everything they did. And more importantly, just with this win, with them kind of winning by 11, but really was pretty in hand, you know, down the stretch. Like, Embiid only played 30 minutes, and that's without Tobias Harris. You know, a lot of these young kids stepping up and giving them good minutes. Shake Milton with a solid night. It's, you know, Seth Curry, not Steph, because I always kind of screw the two up. Seth Curry having a solid evening with 23 points, 4-8 from three. And again, on a second night of a back-to-back as well, just good stuff from the Sixers. And they're a team that kind of, they know what they are and know what they need to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no Danny Green, no Korkmaz, and to still pull out a win is pretty impressive. They got big minutes from Niang off the bench, who's been really great for them, just a really nice fit in Doc Rivers' system. And then B-Ball Paul gets off the bench, puts in 4-9. It's good to see. It's good to see. Any night you can see B-Ball Paul for more than 5 minutes is a good night.
It's you're always happy, basically.
Yeah, always. On Detroit's side, Cade Cunningham had his first double-double of his career, 18 points, 10 boards, 4 assists, and a steal. Still struggling to shoot the basketball. He was 4 of 17 overall, but did get to the free throw line quite a bit. 9 of 10 from the free throw line, which is encouraging if you're a Pistons fan, where you're watching all these other rookies blow up, and then your rookie comes in, the number one pick, and he struggles. So it's good to see him finally get some footing.
Yeah, and you know, the 10 boards says a lot about him. Mm-hmm. Right, because you're looking at it going like, all right, here's a kid struggling to shoot 4-17. Offense hasn't really gotten going. Now, granted, 4 of them were offensive boards, but you know, going in there and doing other things other than my offensive game isn't there right now. I'm just going to focus on that. Doing the other things really matters and goes a long way with everything that he's doing. But ultimately, too, the Pistons are a bad team.
Yeah.
You know, in that sense. And it's not, you know, they're trying, give them credit. Went and signed Grant a few years ago, got Olynyk this year, trying to get it going. But it's like, yeah, but you're also bad, you know, and Killian Hayes still a long way to go. Mm. You know, it's going to take them time. And I'm not worried about Cunningham yet in terms of the slow start coming off the ankle injury and everything. You know, let's check back in closer to like the All-Star break, because really, how often should we be watching Detroit?
Yeah, totally agree. Shout out to Beef Stew for that crossover move on Joel Embiid tonight, too. That was super duper sick. All right, that's going to do it for today's show. I hope you guys have a great, great Friday. And Mo, take us out.
Ding, ding.